So Yitzchak Gimel was Al Yitzchak Riv Maher, so he spoke about the importance of fighting sometimes, but doing it with Seichel. V'Yisrachakim in Ashuosim in Anadorim. So a person has to distance himself from Shavuos and the Dorim, because Oven Hanadorim, the Gemara says, a person who's nichshel in the Dorim causes the children to die. Bonim Mesim. Okay, so interesting to, you know, Chazal drew this line from Oven Hanadorim to Bonim Mesim. Pashas, the more saying that it's just that a person is not the Reina Mekayem is, but it's Bonim or Mesim. The homiletical understanding, which was mentioned by some of the Forshim, is the person has to look at his Mesim. Only if you behave. The person has to look at his Mesim as a Toloda of him. So a person makes a netter. The Russian gave a power of speech, and the power of his speech has many, many miles. When it comes to the world of Nadorim and Shuas, it's not supposed to be the final result. There's a Gemara word from Rabbi Rucham. Rabbi Rucham says, Mishnah says, Amor Ma'at Maharsei Harbei. And Chazal take off on that. Rashi brings in Parshas Chayasora that Amor Ma'at Maharsei Harbei is like Avraham Avinu. He told the Malachim that, come, I'll give you something to eat. And he ended up giving them, you know, gants of chashav, a meal. And not like Rishoyim, Sikim say mat and they do harpe. Not like Rishoyim, which say tremendous and they don't do anything. Ephron said, you know, Eretz, don't worry about it, I'll give it to you for free. And then the day he charged him, you know, Armeh Shekel, Ervelasech. So, Poshet, you learn up that the Betzim is two different things. There's an act of talking a lot, there's an act of doing or not doing. That one is not moiled the other. You say, that's a mistake. Let's say you take a steam engine, right? So, steam engine is you put in some type of fuel, and you boil up the water, it gets very, very hot, and it turns out the steam. And the steam, as it bursts out, moves the different mechanisms of the engine. Right? So it's a very powerful steam engine. It's just hot air, right? But it's very powerful. Imagine you had a very a steam engine needs, in case you know it should get too hot and too much, so you need an escape valve, right? Imagine they open the escape valve totally, so all of the energy goes out. Yeah. So you have this very loud sound, but the machine doesn't do anything. Says so the human being gets a certain motivation, gets excited about something, etc. So that motivation, because inside of him, motivates him to do something. So he turns on the escape valve. He talks about it. He talks, I'm going to do this, and it'll be so great, and I'll be such a big tzaddik, and I'll do another thing. He takes all the energy, puts it into the talk. By the time he's finished, he has no energy left to accomplish anything. So that was effort. He's talking and talking and talking and talking. And the result, he doesn't do anything. So he can understand that the more you talk, the less you're going to do. So more ma'at, and therefore I say harpe. That's what beautiful touches up shad and nachazal. It's a gorgeous touch. So the Barashim told us that the counselor that comes to the world of Nadorim and Shuas, the Mor says, it's better you should not make a neder, you should not make a shua. Because do it. Right? Don't talk about it, do it. Mishra has a line that says, you know, that, remember when he was a kid one time, the guy said, he asked somebody, one of his neighbors from the old neighborhood, downtown Washington. She says, I just doozes it. She just doozes it already. It's not talking about, just doozes it, you know. So, okay, but sometimes the person feels he needs to put a pressure on himself. It's not enough just to do it. He needs to create the pressure. So the Morse says, "There's a called Nidre Zruzim. The people need to remember themselves, so they make a neder. Nishpati v'akayemal, nishpar mishpatei zikelcho." David Melech says, "There's a musik of making a shua to mizaris yourself." The person who says that a person makes a neder, he's going to get up tomorrow and learn. early is neder gadol not a little kei yisrael. He's done a tremendous thing by making this commitment. Commitment is a good thing. If commitment is that is leading into that there should be a result afterwards, so it's very balanced. The commitment isn't the whole focus. The commitment is just the vehicle to lead to the result. So the commitment is a very positive thing. If a person makes an error, he doesn't do it. It came that he wasted all of his energy on the talk. So there's no result. There's no telodah. So as I'll say, the result is his body mason. His telodah, his told us don't deserve to exist either. He's abused the concept of how to create a proper result. Right. So the final result, what happens to that is the body mason. That's the taich. A little bit of. So we sit in awe of the Musig of Neder. We sit in awe of the Musig of Shua. And it's a tremendous, you know, it's a powerful thing to contemplate, the idea that a human being with his words creates halachic results. A human being with his words creates a reality that you're bound by, that you must do. He can create a kedusha on a chayfetz. He says this kikir is beneder that it's osir. It gets a din of me'ilo on it. The person's moral in it. The more members, it makes it osir to the whole world. The yesh me'ilo b'kanamis. It's mamash kaddish. The whole idea of making something kaddish with your mouth is something to contemplate. It's like way beyond our ability to understand that. I say this is Kaddish, and it gets the halachas of Kaddush on it. So somebody uses it, he's chayav a korban. Somebody eats it, he's chayav misa. Why? Because I said so. So it's a mind-boggling thing. And the person appreciates the value of that strength of a human mouth to accomplish something. He takes it very seriously. So the person says, I'm going to do something to somebody. He realizes that's a reality. He better think very, you know, long and hard before he commits. So you're misrachak min ha-shuvos min ha-nador. So you take care from it. It's interesting. Over the years, Rabbeinu Rizal, we different times had asked him to say some type of a musaf the border for the bachur, for the Beis Hamikdash bachur, and he always refused. And you know, one time he explained to me why. You know, he's a Telser. Tells Rabbeinu Meir Zitzal was like the musaf of Emes, and the musaf of being careful with, you know, that exactly what you say is what you do was tremendous to him. He's very scared to make a commitment to the Musaf Aboro, because let's say sometimes he can't do it. For his health reasons or because of other commitments. What's supposed to happen then?
No, because they had a conversation in advance.
He says, I'm not going to make a commitment that I can't follow, that I feel I can't be guaranteed I'll be able to follow through. Now most of us, like, you know, you make a commitment, then you try. Right? Like that's what the word commitment means, we'll try. For him, a commitment. So I can't commit 100%, so I can't commit. So we're not going to do it at all. You know, I said, well, I argued I'd rather have the guys do it once in a while than not have it at all. He said, no, I can't commit. Like, we had this conversation, which we're not, our minds do not think of the same thought process. That was like very clear from the conversation.
No.
So my son, the Baruch Bear, he came to America. So he was raising money for Kamenitz. So one time he came to, he didn't understand a word of English. So yeah, people went with him to these houses. So he comes to a certain house and he makes his plea. And the interpreter translates it to English. The person says back, he says, I'll try, Rabbi. So he asks the translator, what does it mean? And he says, Rabbi doesn't make garnished. You know, that's exactly what I'll try means.
Garnished.
It means nothing. So, you know, the rush came from a world where saying something meant something. So you're misrachic from that, because otherwise you're teaching yourself a lesson in lack of commitment and a lack of animus, a lack of honesty. I know I don't feel social commentary on the whole world. But we have many areas where we do this. My wife and I have had. We grapple with the following question. Somebody asks us to be somewhere, on, you know, at a certain time.
Right.
And we know that nothing's going to happen when we get there. The Shema Bracha is called for 6 o'clock. Please be there on time. Okay. So I said, I'll be there on time. So he says, I get there at 6 o'clock. Ain't nobody there but me and the mice, you know. Right? You know, like, you come to a chasda, it's called for 6:30. You know, you get there at 6:30, it's you, the caterer, and the mice. The photographer setting up. You know, like, that's it. So what do we train ourselves? We train ourselves to be just shakronim. Everybody knows it doesn't mean that. You know, the Yiddish time is what it means. What does Yiddish time mean? That my time is worthless. That's what it means. That because you want to come late, therefore I don't have that. Therefore, my time is worthless. Finally, everybody says, you know, we all feel like that. So we train ourselves all to not care about anybody else's time. So it just gets later and later and later. That's the game, you know. So the Rav comes late because why should he come to waste his time, right? So Mela, the next time, everybody says, why should I come to time? Because the Rav's going to come late. So they come later, you know. So it's a game, right? But what's the result? It's all from a training of we're not taking anything seriously. We don't take a word seriously. It's a painful thing to contemplate. That, you know, that we've trained ourselves. It's like so obvious to us that if I go on time, I'm strange. And I grapple with it. Should I go on time because that's what I said I'll do? Or knowing that I'm going to waste my time? Or go late? I don't know. I don't know. I have, you know, I've done both ways.
Bring a safer.
You know, that's not always the most, you know, the comfortable thing to do either. You push yourself to get out on time. You know, you pressure people, you know, because you have to. I'm guilty of it also, you know. I'm not saying that I'm a big tzaddik about it. You know. But. So, but in the world of the Rosh, in the world of Chazal, now you have to understand that just halachically, the more darshans, if you say something twice, gets a din of a shul. He says, I'll be there, halachically has a din of a shul. That's definition of halach. So the definition of what we call a shua, you know, it all of a sudden went from being, you know, to I hereby swear solemnly by the name of the, you know, all of a sudden I said, I promise you, don't worry, I promise you, I'll take care of it, I promise you. Well, you just did it. You just made yourself a shua. The first week I was here, you know, I'm coming from my shelter, the Tel Yeshiva existence, to the sacred halls of Yeshiva Greater Washington, with many exciting kids running down the hallway. And I'm sitting in my, I didn't have an office yet at that point. In the run, I didn't have an office. We shared somebody else's office. We used Rabbi Tadalam's office in those days. We ate breakfast in Rabbi Tadalam's office. That was our. Now he eats breakfast in ours. So I'm sitting there at breakfast time, and I hear a guy, someone in the hallway say, "I swear by," and he says Hashem's name, English name, that. And I said, "Like, you? Are you serious? You're making Shua Chamura?" It's like, you got to be kidding. It was so natural to him. You know, the next thing I know, you know, next thing the guy, I didn't want to say it, the next thing a person's going to, you know, give somebody a call with the Hashem's name, you know. It's not so vital in some people's language. You know. It's a phrase in English, you know. So, I just like, how can you do that? It's like, how can you just like so callously. So good, he's way beyond where we're at. But this mitzvah that you, Russia, that you, it's all the opposite. You have to be take our word, you take your word very seriously. Something very valuable, something very precious. You are a person of stature that when you say something, it's real. And you say something, you mean it. You say something, you're going to do your utmost to make sure that it happens. And if you feel that you can't, it's probably better not to commit. Because you can't take a chance on it. Because you can't cheapen the value of your of Dibur and your beat of Emes and your commitment to do the right thing. That you're going to cheapen and say, you know what, I'll say it knowing that I don't really mean it. It's a terrible thing to contemplate.